Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello, Cabin Country friends. This is Fudd. Bjorn and I have a great show for you ahead, but we wanted to warn you that you may notice a slight increase in advertising, which might sort of just pop in without warning. If you listen to other podcasts, you've probably noticed this kind of thing before. It's a prearranged ad placement system with our podcasting platform that might help us earn a few pennies. But we sincerely hope that this won't interfere with your enjoyment of our...
Look who's smiling now! Salisle Extension University is offering you the opportunity to get the last laugh. By selecting the rigorous course of home study that best suits your ambitions, you can triple your salary from entry level to upper level management in as little time as it takes you to complete this series of correspondence courses. You determine the rigor of your own education. Salisle offers degrees upon completion of the following courses: Accounting 101, including both fiction and nonfiction; Real Estate Intro, featuring payroll, scheduling, and fryer maintenance; Restaurant Management, emphasizing machine shorthand, total diesel repair, and organ lessons; Veterinary Assistant, including techniques for making extra cash by customizing vans, cycles, and dune buggies; and Locksmithing, the key to your future, which will add inches to your chest, neck, and arms through the wonders of isokinetics. And if you send a self-addressed stamped envelope to Salisle Extension today, you'll also receive our free pamphlet on how to grow taller. You'll receive 5 genuine fossilized prehistoric shark's teeth, access to a U.S. coin-filled barrel purchased from a reputable old-time collector, and the inside track on how to sell your poems to major U.S. and European music producers. Hear your words on the radio. No kidding. Send your self-addressed stamped envelope today to Salisle Extension University, Department 1346, Sherbrooke Avenue East, Mosaic, Rhode Island. Again, that address is Side Aisle Extended Adversity, Compartment Duckpin Helmet, Canadian Aviary Geese, Prosaic, Thousand Island. Don't delay. Start building your future today.
From the glow of St. Paul's number one, welcome to another edition of Cabin Country. Give us the time and we'll take you out of the traffic and away from the levee. Let's find the place where the loons call out among the moonlit waves, where the wind sighs among the Norway pines. Pull up a dock chair, have a sip of your coffee, and get a line in the water. This is Cabin Country. Now here's Bjorn Lloydsted, and I'm Fudd Cluck.
This segment of Cabin Country is brought to you by Horseshoe Plug, that satisfying chaw you might share with Granddad. Horseshoe. You'll be hard-pressed to find a more pleasing wad.
Well, welcome back to the show. We're glad to have you again. I am Bjorn Lloydsted.
And I'm Fudd Klugman.
Talking tonight, pre-show outside, about here we are in March.
Yeah.
And it's kind of felt like the endless autumn.
Right.
This year. Autumn is always a season I think we both greatly enjoy, Fudd.
Oh, yeah.
That never land in between of like, well, summer's over. Now we've got this time where the weather is still good. And then it gets kind of cold, and that's pleasant, too, and you can suit up and sit around the fire ring and enjoy the frosty evening, you know? But you know in the back of your mind what's coming.
Oh, yes.
And it's going to get cold, and it's going to snow. And then the holiday season, and oh, boy, and we're shoveling and snow blowing and all that good stuff. And
right.
And then we hit January into February and March, and it's just kind of what I always refer to as the gray snow season of kind of like,
yeah,
it's kind of melting, it's kind of coming back. Oh, here comes more of it. And then Everything's white again, and then turns kind of dirt gray brown again. It's a long, often.
Yes.
Often. This year
very
has
long.
Been
yeah.
false advertising. Right. And that it just is not.
Yeah.
We're not having it. And that, I'm going to go way out on a limb here and say, I don't mind. I've enjoyed every second of it. This has been the year of the endless autumn.
Yes.
And I think that was a Beach Boys album, wasn't it? Endless Autumn.
I think, maybe. Or Endless Summer.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah. Whole lineup of songs we could play with on that line of inquiry. But no, it's been. It's, so, anyway, fall is always kind of magical because it's going to end. And it's going to end abruptly. And what we enjoyed in that sort of shoulder season is gone.
Yeah.
And so I'm going to ask you, Foot, right out of the gate, what do you like the best about autumn in cabin country? What is it that works the best for you? What do you enjoy?
I've been realizing that I do kind of like the later autumn.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, well into October, especially
sure.
these days where
sure.
summer seems to be kind of overlapping into,
which oh, yeah.
I'm sure most people enjoy.
Yeah, no problem.
But
with that.
I really like the mid to late October through November, where it just seems like the suspended animation of it, you know, all the creepy crawlies are
have gone. crept
and crawled into
right.
hibernation somewhere or died off.
Dropped dead. Yeah.
But yeah, and then something we're often talking about is the smell of the drying leaves, you know, and the grass that gets dry. Everything just seems kind of, to me, like frozen. Again, that suspended animation, and it's... I mean, there's nothing like the new spring life and the teeming with life that's exciting, especially after a long, cold, gray winter.
Oh, man. We've waited so long, and here it comes,
yeah.
finally.
But fall, there's something a little bit more... I can't think of a better word than magical right now. But, I'm afraid that's the best I can come up with.
It works.
Yes.
The crunching of leaves underfoot as you kind of go through the woods and the leaves are down, or some of the, like the oaks love to hang on to leaves well into the wintertime. But it just, I know I've said this too many times, you know, listeners are like, yeah, there goes Bjorn again. It's that smell of kind of the decomposing,
yeah,
like aspen leaves.
Right.
You
yes.
know,
love that.
And the cottonwood leaves, things like that, and just crunching underfoot, twigs everywhere, and the occasional bursting from cover of a rough grouse. Yeah.
Or the drumming.
It's good stuff. And then it's something, too, about waking up in the morning and just a real light frost.
Mm.
You know, frost covering everything, but the snows aren't flying yet.
Right.
Lakes and rivers are still free of ice. Yeah, it's just, better yet, the water's kind of smoking.
Yeah, you know, steamy.
Like steaming water. It's good stuff. And so, yeah, for me, it's kind of the combo platter of the change of the colors. Oranges and reds and golds and browns, but the aromas on the ground as we kind of prowl around through the woods in and around the Pillager Baxter areas.
Yeah,
it's wonderful stuff. And there's nothing quite like a fire.
Yeah,
you know, early evening, late afternoon fire, and, mm-hmm. and how it just, it's like all of a sudden you're like, man, I'm glad this is going because it's I'm starting to almost see my breath here and. Cup of hot coffee and or a cigar, you know, it's all good. And then there aren't docks and lifts out anymore. I mean, they're all, it's just one big stretch of water. And to see all the reeds kind of turning color, to me it's always like what it probably looked like a long time ago when there weren't all kinds of, there's 17 sections of dock sticking out there and three different lifts and a couple are electronic. And
there's something too about the, you know, the sun's getting lower in the sky, so the angle, the shadows are getting longer, and there's something about that too. You know, the summer has this kind of a haze, you know, throughout the day. And
right.
What I also liked about the fall is that it kind of seems like late morning all day long. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Like, yeah. The sun comes up, and then very shortly thereafter, it feels like it's already starting to set.
Right.
Yeah, and everything's got that kind of interesting, kind of deeper color to
it. Yeah, more contrast.
Technicolor, almost.
Yes.
Without a doubt. And then where you're at, to smell, you know, the wood fire
right.
from up and down the river. People are burning fires in their fire rings, and to hear the reports of shotguns.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
I just, every time I hear that, I'm like, one of these days, you know, Fudd and I are going to get out there and walk the fields or walk the woods or right. sit in a blind. And there's a romance to the idea of walking the woods with a 12-gauge, you know,
right.
on safe, pointed at the ground and waiting for something to get up and trying not to fill my pants as a rough grouse blows cover.
Oh, Jesus. But more times than not, no, let's light up a cigar and start a fire instead.
Yeah, I, for one, yeah, light the cigar, cook up a pot of mitts, decaf, enjoy the fire ring. But I'm a forager. You know
yes,
me. I like
yes.
to walk the woods and see what's out there. And I'm a huge fan of the late, great Yule Gibbons, but specifically foraging. Doing a little cruising the internet, and it was like, what in the world are people able to pull in and make use of while they're out there in the autumnal walks through the woods? Now, the first thing that came up, they were talking about acorns. And I will admit, Fudd, I'm a guy who's been known to shell and devour a white oak acorn from time to time.
Oh, really?
I'll get rid of the shell, and I'll check that acorn to make sure there's no pinholes in it, mm-hmm. indicating some kind of larvae or something enjoying the white oak. But they're free of tannin. I mean, they're very good. And I'm told if they're roasted, they're even better. In fact, if roasted quite well, they can be ground and used as a flour for various baking kinds of things. If you want to make flapjacks or something out of white oak acorn flour, you can
white
certainly
oak flapjacks.
Go ahead and do that. But I like them, as Yule himself would say, out of hand. I'll just eat them shelled and down the hatch. But they were talking about red oak acorns. And I've made the mistake of trying a red oak acorn in a similar fashion.
Yeah.
I don't know if I was out confused or like, what is that? It's a white acorn. They're so tannic. They're so incredibly tannic. I mean, they just they pull all the moisture out of your mouth. And it's the only thing I can compare it to is there's a type of wild crabapple that grows in Minnesota.
Mm-hmm.
And they're bright yellow in the autumn after the first frost. And I'm thinking, wow, first frost, a lot of things will turn very sweet after the first frost. They'll talk about like the mid-south coming up into cabin country, a little far south for us, but like persimmons will grow wild in parts of the midwest to the mid-south, and how after the first frost they become very sweet, just delectable, wonderful, a little soft, but very, very flavorful. And I was thinking, well, you know, I don't know, looked good, and little yellow apples, they're all over these trees. I was out running, and I'm a guy who likes to, the joke was made at one point, well, you're a distance runner who forages, or you're a forager who distance runs. I'm not quite sure which, but this good friend of mine said, it seems as though you plan your running routes around what's edible, and you hit those stores of nature's goodness
on your run.
And I'm not going to lie, that is often the case. I know where the mulberries are in the spring, and I know where I'm going to find, you know, the best of the...
You don't see me. You got raspberries behind your garage, and you don't seem to be picking them. Oh, my God.
Even a rental property that had golden raspberries.
Ooh.
Like, good Lord. There's nobody living here. Who's the guy in the running shorts just making a meal of it over there, housing all those yellow raspberries? But, I was quite a ways out, and there was this tree, and we'd had frost, but it was one of those late autumn, oh, my gosh, it's almost 60-degree kind of days, and running in a T-shirt and shorts, and it feels good, and it's great. And I thought, oh, look at all those crab apples. I gotta give one a shot. And I don't know how many miles out I was, but I didn't want something real astringent that was going to pull all the moisture out of my system. And I had a bite out of this crab apple, which was pretty good sized. I mean, for a crab apple, I was like, wow, this is like a small, looked like a golden delicious, you know, just a hint of red on it. And I was like, wow, false advertising. Oh my gosh, it was awful and brutal. I mean, I was hurting for water at that point, and my mouth went cotton.
Oh, my gosh.
And I had several miles to get back. Oh, it was brutal.
Yikes.
Managed to find another wild apple tree that was actually quite good. And I was like, thank God.
Return some moisture back into the mouth.
Unreal. But Yeah, some of these things. Well, anyway, red oak acorn. So, and this particular site said they do produce copious amounts of these acorns, and they're consumed by cultures all over the planet. Great source of nutrition, etc. But you're going to have to soak these things for a long time to remove the tannins before you use them.
Our little dog, Cully, just loves those red oak acorns. Just always chewing it. I'm thinking, what the...
But well, Cully eats firewood and
she pine eats
cones.
Everything. This is our little Cavalier King Charles Spaniel.
Dead minnows.
And as they say now, yeah,
I might
very
be
food motivated.
Yeah.
Dead minnows, I don't know, but she probably would. She eats everything.
Dead possum?
Not that, thank God.
Okay.
Thank goodness.
Now.
Can you beat the combination of cold beer and afternoon fishing trips? Summer sun and the strike of a record-breaking northern may require a congratulatory frosty.
And whether your cooler has just come up empty, Uncle Don, or you forgot to stock up before leaving the shore, Channel Liquors on the Crow Wing has you covered.
Plenty of parking spaces for autos up off the highway, but also plenty of docking options right down on the water. And you'll never need to worry about taking your time to tie up. We're in a no-wake zone right near the bridge on 25. Plenty of barn swallows and bridge anglers will be your companions.
The beer selection at Channel is second to none, with a massive cooler section in the back of the store, as well as up front near the register.
And yes, we have wine. From high-end vintners to table-worthy labels, we have the wines to match your tastes.
Channel Liquors also has a wide array of snacks and boat necessities for every fishing trip, in case you may have hurried onto the water and left things back at the cabin.
Or maybe even on the dock.
You said it. And every young angler who comes to Channel with a parent will leave with a lollipop. It's a decades-old tradition, and we're not going to end it.
Channel Liquors, open from 8 a.m. till 10 p.m. We'll be waiting for you. Welcome again to Cabin Country. I'm Bjorn Lloydstadt.
And I'm Fudd Klugman.
And it is our honor tonight, Fudd, to introduce a new piece that's kind of a joint effort here.
Oh, boy.
We're going to call this Jump Cut Hunter's Theater.
Jump Cut?
Jump Cut Hunter's Theater. And the opportunity for our Cabin Country faithful who love to hunt to write in their favorite hunting tales so that you and I might bring them to life in this theater of the mind. And at the same time, it's an opportunity for our good friends at Millard Fillmore Middle School. Through the audiovisual club there, they get the opportunity to practice their audio mixing and editing. Tomorrow's audio stars, media stars, getting an opportunity to hone their craft. So here we are with episode one, if you will, a new feature, Hunter's Jump Cut Theater. Fudd, you've got the first story joining you on trail of the deer hunt.
I'd seen only his shadowy form shrink away down the long length of a mown corn dusk, and then bank west onto a grassy lane that divided a wooded hill, with hardwoods on one side and a bank of young ass on the other. This was the perfect place to drop him and claim a 12-point. The next afternoon, I hung a stand on the wooded edge in the fork of and waited. For hours, there was the deserted grassy road cut.
My wife's sitting over here.
Whitetail tracks running its length. And the faint cutting in perpendicularly along the
Cocker Spaniel
knob. Between the aspens and the gnawed off and gone.
Yeah.
Love the dog.
The northwest, which had been flipping red, silver side up, settled. The red squirrel, and there he was.
Abraham Lincoln.
He didn't weave through the aspens or step onto the old...
My folks are living there at the present time.
180 inches, give or take. 14 yards away, facing me.
Cocker Spaniel dog.
Front legs standing on the road cut. Rear ones...
In high school. But then I realized that...
Right then, I felt as though I had mystically levitated to my stand in that...
College.
He was just...
Poo-pooed and...
Bring this kingly beast down. When I reached for my bow, the stand made a barely audible... The buck lifted his head and stared beyond me. I froze, thinking that like many deer, only vaguely alerted, he'd
poo-pooed and
soon flick his tail and
run down the street right after the...
Shoot him as he... But he just froze
and stared.
Possibly 5 minutes.
Round
as if on a heel and vanished into the aspen.
Come out the door, get back to corner!
50 yards away and out of range, he circled over to the sunlight side of the knob, stepped broadside into a small and stood there for the longest time. To me, what a white-tailed buck could become. And it proved to me that
not the hunter that would take him this season.
Powerful stuff, Fudd. Powerful stuff. A great story. Thank you. And indeed. Well, I've got story two here, Fudd. And we're calling this one the Holly Deer Camp Experience. So here we go. I claimed my first dill in a pickle barrel at the back of Walworth's.
Give me your attention here, please.
I claimed my first deer on a hillside of the Minnesota Western Plains while camping in a pop-up Jayhawk with my uncle and my dad, who were so worried about me that they forced us to take the camper just to make sure we weren't pitching winter-grade tents in the snow. My father was a hunter, but he was a lot packing a deer out. I thought of it after my ears stopped a good 3 miles off the dirt road. Right then, some friends with strong backs would have been very helpful, but I made my own way across the boned meat and hefted it back to the... I married and moved to Montana, began to raise a family on the animals that fell to my V-notch. But unlike Holly, where I'd shot my first dill, my adopted state didn't have a muzzleloader season, and I found myself hunting a landscape where everyone else shouldered Holly. Folks didn't have to worry about how far down to
love the dog.
Didn't take them 45 seconds to reload.
Dutch, that does it.
Just charge it every night, so that the next day began with a charge of fresh...
Del Pickle!
One year I blew my chance to fill the freezer when the hammer clicked onto a cap, the whitetail gone like smoke. And then later I lost one of the biggest...
Dill Pickle!
...I've ever seen when a shot hang fired. Ka-ka-ka-ka-boom!
Boom, boom, boom!
The buck standing broadside and staring as numbed fingers fumbled along the ramrod. Then he disappeared. The last day of that season, the cold sun never warmed the hills and tree lines. It was so cold I'd stopped to build a string of muleys materialized out of the timber. The animals were winter meat at a time in my life when it was so...
A dill pickle out of that barrel.
I thawed the lock over the fire while the muleys nervously browsed, and watched with a sinking heart as one by one they pull out. I opened the trunk of my father's Chevy Impala, which I borrowed from time to time after he too moved to father's Chevy, Tana, to get my horse blanket dad kept in the trunk. Underneath it was a 30-30-30-30-30 Winchester with a decade of high-handed black powder preaching could grab that rifle with each hand and quietly labored up the hillside. And there was my freezer. I still believe that the measure of a hunter is not how far he shoots, but how close he gets to make sure of his
freezer.
But I've come to understand that a rifle is only a tool, and that you don't need a cloud of smoke to conjure the spirit of your...
Dill Pickle.
The 350 Magnum I carry now may not have the same spirit of yesteryear, but it thunders when you ask it. As for my prized muzzleloader, it hasn't fired since the last light on that mountain. I stuff money down the bore where it rests over the mantle, underneath the skull and antler mount of a mule deer buck. Quite a tale, eh, Foot? Well, and if you'd like to join us, give some young, fine people in the audiovisual world some editing opportunities, feel free to send your hunting tales into Hunter's Jump Cut Theater. And ideally, our young students will live up to their billing and make some fine listening for our more than fine audience. Anyway, thank you for joining us on the inaugural episode of Hunter's Jump Cut Theater. We'll see you next time.
Well, the first thing I met was a fly with a bug in the sky with a any clown.
Well, further afield here, they're talking about there are apples galore all throughout the state in a lot of cases, especially if you're hunting near an old farmstead or something. Often it's not. There will be apple trees that have kind of almost gone feral. You know, crab apples have an excellent flavor. They talk about wild apples. I've had a wild apple or two. I think, I mean, they're probably just trees that have gone wild. They've kind of turned wild. And they can be a little interesting. But yeah, I used another running route would take me past yet another rental property that had
what was left of the tree was half dead.
Yeah.
But the live half would always get, I'm not sure what they were, but they were gold apples, green turning to gold. I thought they're either golden delicious or maybe it's a, you know, an early honey crisp or something like that. I'm not sure, but I would stop. They were kind of undersized.
Mm-hmm.
Again, they were never blemished by you know, insects. Yeah, there was nothing there. And I, it was at the end of my run, and I'd be like, oh, man. And there was, you know, cars coming and going, and they never touched them. And I was like, well, I'm just going to kind of, whoops. How did I end up with this in my hand? Oh, look at that.
Whoops.
Delicious. Outstanding. And if you could, if they stayed on the tree after the first few frosts, ambrosia. It was delicious. Yeah. Outstanding.
Wow.
So, yeah, if you can find an apple tree out there, man, make a meal of it because it's good. The last apples to ripen are usually the best keepers, the really hard apples. They store well in a cold spot or a root cellar. It's just like Granny off the Beverly Hillbillies. I got a barrel of apples down there in the root cellar next to the pickled pawpaws. So help yourself. They claim you can keep them throughout the winter. Can't imagine what they're like the following spring, but maybe you got a barrel full of cider. I don't know.
Yeah, or
fizzing.
Sort of a apple sauce.
Apple sass that's 50 proof or something. I don't know. Anyway, they're claiming here that some kind of old farmsteads, too, will have pear trees that have gone back to the wilding state.
Hmm.
And you'll find pears that are out there. It says they're not always good for eating out of hand, but can be mixed with apples to make an interesting sauce.
Oh, yes.
I'm like, well, I've never run into that. Usually, again, running through the city neighborhoods, I know where there are pear trees. I've figured that out. And, man, they just, I'm like, why do you people not make anything of these? They're just falling off the tree.
Yeah.
This is silly. Why am I walking in your yard? I don't know. Why am I reaching under your, look at that. Look what I found. Oops, I'll see you later. They're wonderful. The next on the list, wild plum. Now, you might remember a walk.
Oh, yes, I do.
At the cabin long ago where I was pointing out, hey, look at this. There's plum trees.
Oh, yeah.
Wild American plum. Absolutely love it.
Yeah, I was really impressed with you that weekend. I don't know how long we've been going up at that point, but I thought...
A couple of years.
Good Lord, he knows everything in these woods. I've been coming up here for years and...
Well, I like to think I do if I don't actually. But, yeah, the plums, real small...
Yeah.
Kind of purple orange. They get this interesting kind of frost-like color on them when they're ready to go. And if you're unfortunate enough to get one early on when they're not quite there yet, again, you won't soon forget it. It's very, very acidic and harsh. But the pits are very big. There's not a lot of flesh to them. But, man, when they're ripe, a wild plum. I want to say it's Prunus Americanus. Prunus virginius. I don't remember which it is, but you can buy them, too, as like a native shrub.
Hmm.
Plant them around your house. My folks had one.
Oh, okay.
In their house in the northern suburbs. And growing up, I was like, what are these little... Are these edible? Well, I don't know. They're awfully wormy. I mean, you know, but we had them on the farm, and, blah, 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 and Grandma used to make sauce out of them. Grandma made sauce out of everything. I mean... Grandpa's old boots, you know.
I need a new pair, Hilma. Well, we're going to make sauce out of these boots.
Nothing goes to waste here.
Oh, my goodness. It's my mom would even talk about prune sauce or chokecherry sauce.
Oh.
And then Grandpa liked, because he was a dairy farmer, so there was always fresh cream, and they'd pour cream on this sauce, and it would curdle.
Oh, my
the
gosh.
The acid content was so high, you now had, you know, fresh cheese with your...
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Cottage cheese.
But, oh, my gosh. I love the wild plums. This is very rare, but here and there, they're small and tart, but good eating.
Hmm.
I didn't find them to be that tart. When the frost has hit... Man, I mean, the skin is very sour, but the fruit inside, as thin as it is, is really wonderful, and it's a really unique flavor. It's I compare it to springtime when the crabapple trees are blooming, or the apple trees are blooming.
Yeah.
And there's a smell off those blossoms that I can only compare to... And my wife has heard me say this a million times because I insist. We got to go for another walk because the trees are blooming.
Mm-hmm.
And I got to go out and get my beak in those trees. And the sad thing now is the bees are all dead. You know, there just aren't the bees there used to be.
Yeah.
We had a crabapple tree growing up at that same house, and it was just magenta with flowers in the spring.
Wow.
It was huge, and it was just, purple kind of magenta, all flowers. And the thing just hummed.
Yeah.
There were so many bees in that tree, and they didn't care. I mean, you could walk around underneath it and look, and they don't
bother
them. They're not going to bother you.
Right.
They were getting all the pollen and nectar they could get, and it was, and now I mean they're everywhere in St. Paul where I'm at. There's just dark purple blossoms and white blossoms and kind of peach color blossoms, and they smell so good. I mean the smell is, if you could bottle it,
mm-hmm.
I'd be buying it constantly. It's it's apple. Some of them have kind of an almost cinnamon aroma.
Wow.
But it's also like, it smells like fresh rain. It's just really unique. But, no bees to be seen anywhere. It's kind of heartbreaking. My daughter's big into the study of all things forestry. And she's like, oh, it's horrible. I hope they come back. You know, we've got a lot of work to do.
Yeah.
To kind of take it easy on the lawn sprays, et cetera, that have killed off all the pollinators.
Right.
They smell good. But, and there for a while, too, my mom would take a page out of my grandma's book, and I'd go out and have to collect all these crab apples falling off this tree. And she was making jams and jellies.
Oh, boy.
Jams and jellies. It was good, but I was like, a lot of work for, ugh.
Well, if that's what you grew up with families that did that,
I guess so.
Preserved everything you could that you could forage.
I guess to some extent I equate that flavor of the wild plum with like the aroma of those blossoms. It's just like it's so unusual, it's so distinct. And it's pretty amazing. Next on the list, they're talking about hawthorns.
Uh-huh.
And hawthorn trees have interesting leaf patterns. It's kind of hard to explain. It looks like a crabapple. I guess they're related to roses and apples. Same idea. They're going to say here, smaller than apples, looks like a very tall rose bush with orange-red berries, or sometimes yellowish. I've seen them yellowish, too. I remember on a sailing trip up in the Apostles, we pulled in at one of the islands there in the Apostle Islands, and there were hawthorn trees that had they looked like little tiny apples, and they were bright yellow.
Mm.
And I tried to get a tempting mouthful and was just like, wow. Memories of that crabapple came back. I was like, oh boy. And the trees do have really lengthy, sharp thorns all over them. And I'm even told there's I forget the type of bird. Here's where we need Stan.
Oh, yeah.
But these birds will catch insects. And then the nickname for this bird is the butcher bird, because they'll catch bugs and then impale them on the spikes of these hawthorn trees to come back and eat them later. Stick around, good looking. We'll be back to eat you later, They're claiming the apples can be used for pectin. I don't doubt that for 1 minute, because they are so bitter. And I would assume it makes for real easy, it'll thicken things up. It'll thicken sauces up. And also says you can make cider out of it, just like regular apples. Although, an interesting flavor, but not great on their own. And please watch out for the thorns.
Mm-hmm.
And then, interestingly enough, you might get a charge out of this with a lot of your ties into indigenous lore. It says, always offer tobacco before harvesting, so the fairies who live in the bush don't come after you, poke you with a thorn.
Oh, my God.
Wow.
And impale you and come and eat you later.
That's right.
Wow.
The birds and the fairies of the hawthorn shrubs.
Huh.
Offering of tobacco. It sounds very
interesting.
Very Native American to me.
For the hawthorn.
Yeah, the hawthorn shrub. I've seen them. Yul Gibbons, God rest him, talks about the various styles of the many different varieties, orange, red, yellow. He says some are better than others,
mm-hmm.
and you'll know what you've got. And he said it varies from tree to tree. So you might find one that's just absolutely delicious, and after the first frost, you can't fill your pockets full enough with these things.
Mm.
And others run far and run fast, because it's ghastly. But next up, choke cherries. I know they're on your lot up there in Baxter.
Oh, yes, that's right.
They're either choke cherries or they're pin cherries.
Yeah.
I think they might be pin, because they're a little more red and they're not quite as thick.
Uh-huh.
I often confuse choke cherries with the fruit of a plant that comes up that is known in parts of the state and parts of the country is poke. It's a salad green if
oh, okay.
If harvested early enough.
Yeah.
Elvis Presley had a song called Poke Salad Annie.
Oh, really?
It's all about eating poke. Yeah.
Poke salad.
You make poke salad, but it will get a spike of kind of blackish berries at the top, and I read somewhere you want to kind of leave those alone.
Mm.
You're better off leaving those alone. But that's what choke cherries can look like on a tree that very clearly is of the cherry
okay.
family.
Yeah, yeah.
And my dad talked about being a farm kid and eating choke cherries out in the fields
mm-hmm.
and the almost immediate after effects of overindulging in choke cherries.
Well, if you're out on the farm, I suppose you just go behind a bush.
There's something else. It says, wait till they turn very dark, almost black. Apparently, they make good wine.
Oh.
And my mom talked about grandma again making sauce, which would curdle the cream you put on it. But so maybe you just avoid putting cream on it. I don't know. How about some sugar?
Help you get regular.
A lot of sugar.
A lot of sugar.
Oh, they're going to keep you going. That's for sure. Keeps you going. But I've tried them in the wild. If it's very late in the fall and they're still on the tree, they're not awful. There's a sales pitch for you. You know, wait long enough and they're not terrible. Give it a shot.
That sounds right out of Joel Gibbons.
Choke cherries. But I think they're called choke cherries. I'm sure there's some kind of reason they went with that. But all I could think was if you ate them before they were dark black. You might just choke on these things. I don't. There was something about them. I don't know if they're astringent, acidic. I'm not sure what it is. I mean, it's two different ends of the scope. You know, mm-hmm. things are either real acidic or they're real base.
Yeah,
I felt like these were real base. I mean, they've got a big seed in them, kind of like a small cherry. Pulls the moisture right out of your mouth again.
Well, I've been.
This is Ward Melander, your Cabin Country cigar aficionado. I bring you frequent reviews of some of the local cigars and tobaccos that are brought to Cabin Country, and in some cases, that are grown in Cabin Country. Today, I'll be reviewing Homestead Cigar Company's Casserole No. 1. This cigar comes in Toro, Corona, and Churchill sizes, and offers flavors that are both familiar and friendly. Coming to you in a Connecticut wrapper, this medium-bodied smoke offers remembrances of things past to the Cabin Country smoker. Just like the pre-light aroma, this cigar started off with a very light sweet taste, a very clean and refined taste, reminiscent of late July sweet corn. This lasted for about the first one-third of the cigar. From there until the halfway point, the taste became more complex, with subtle tastes of ground beef and cream of celery soup, almost a semi-savory breadcrumb flavor. From the halfway point to the last inch and a half, the flavors became very vegetal and earthy. These are the flavors I so look forward to when smoking a cigar, almost like a russet potato or tater tot. After that point, the cigar started to turn a little filling. Flavors of gratinade cheese sauce and burnt corners of the hot dish pan. So laying it down at that point was to be expected. The nice thing about this cigar was that it was complex without being too complex. But it's nice to have a cigar like this that will consistently give you the flavors you are looking for. Flavors like a Sunday supper at Grandma's.
You know why we're here. You know what we want.
Spaghetti. That kind that's all cooked. Just drop it in the water and heat up the sauce. Pretty good. Want some?
No, sir.
Sure you don't want none?
No, thanks.
Mm-hmm. How about you?
No, sir.
Yeah, you gotta watch it pretty close. Gets too cooked and you gotta eat it with a spoon. Not good that way. Give me a floater out in a can overnight. You've had it, have you? What? Spaghetti. Sure you don't want none?
No, thanks.
Open up the sauce and I'll be right there.
Maybe better come in now.
What?
Come on in. Sit down.
Harry, you got no right to go through my spaghetti.
Something you don't want me to find?
You guys come in here while I'm having dinner. I'm an old man. I sat in a can overnight.
All right.
Where is it?
What?
Spaghetti.
I cooked the spaghetti too long.
Homer Lindsay Fallon received punishment as prescribed by law.
Give me a floater out in a can overnight. Spaghetti.
is a presentation of...
An old man. I sat in a can overnight.
We'd like to encourage you to stick around after Cabin Country each week and slow down a bit. Pick up some of the small-town wisdom of today and yesteryear with good old Lloyd.
Well, good evening, everyone. It's so good to see you all here again tonight. I'm Lloyd. It's been a while since we've sat down around the fire ring together. I'm so glad to be with you and have you all back with me again tonight. Let me take a moment and stoke the fire here. We've got a nice evening planned for you tonight. I'll be talking about the joys of shallow water and largemouth fishing. There's a recipe for calico beans I may share.
Hey!
And we've got a local musical guest, Red Flannel Trout, joining us tonight for number two. And I may have a vocal contribution of my own to offer up later as well. Yes, sir. Glad you're here.
Join Lloyd for a virtual tour through his Minnesota native plants home garden with special guest naturalist extraordinaire, Riv Tostin.
So those white blossoms back there making a wondrous display are blooming bunchberry. I'm not going to pull your leg, Riv. I have no idea how this strand of pink lady slipper arrived. It doesn't respond well to transplanting. It probably had some wild helpers bringing here, but here it is. And aren't those blossoms gorgeous? My land, this stretch of Labrador tea and large leaf aster I did plant. Didn't just show up by itself.
Really beautiful display of native perennials, Lloyd. You must add water to that swath of Labrador tea.
Indeed, that I do. Riv, I also have great pride in my wild sarsaparilla. Every year it comes in a little thicker and a bit richer in earthy, natural root beer flavor.
Lloyd, that's
let me pull up some here so you can smell the freshness of those sarsaparilla roots.
Lloyd, I fear that's poison ivy, not wild
sarsaparilla. No. Leaves of three, a frosted mug awaits ye. Remember that rhyme? It's sarsaparilla time.
Do we have any fells, Naptha, or Dawn back at the truck? We may be able to catch this before Lloyd starts reacting.
Oh, you worry warts, I tell you. I know what I'm doing here. Oh.
Relax, Lloyd. We got you. Shaggy, let's start with getting that flannel.
Yep, I'm on it. Oh. Well, thanks to the boys and Red Flannel Trout for that musical offering. Great to have local talent here with us. More and more, almost on a weekly basis. What luck. Boy, I never planted any poison ivy in my natural Minnesota garden. I have no idea how that got there. Guess I was wrong after all. Well, what has this taught us? Wild sarsaparilla, five leaves. We also learned that the invasive poison ivy can apparently arrive uninvited to just about any garden plot. A successful invasive, to be sure. Thanks to Riv and Shanny and everyone who lent old Lloyd a hand or five during that recording. So great to have our next guests take the stage. They most recently got the crowd up and moving at Drayton's Oxcart Day celebration. A group of guys who can improve your smile and have you boogieing all the while. The Dee Dees.
We know how to chew. Give me that bite fever.
So great to have you bless our stage light, fellas. You know what? Maybe I've got one to offer as well. These me teeth, and I keep you some gold.
That's Lloyd. Good old Lloyd. Be sure to join us again next week about this same time for more from your pal, good old Lloyd.
And I say that every man has the constitutional right
if not the God-given right to shave or not to shave?
I'm going up the country, baby, don't you want to shave?
Next up, they go into bear hunting. I'm not a bear hunter. Do you know anyone that hunts bear?
No, I don't. I always deer was the biggest game that
right.
anybody I knew. I think, you know, some of my dad's friends went bear hunting. I remember in fifth grade, I wrote a story about my dad going deer hunting, and then he ends up getting a bear. So when I think of bear hunting in Minnesota, I think of a story I made up in fifth grade.
So this was false.
This was false.
Fictitious.
Yes.
He did not actually.
He did not bow
drop a bear.
No. We did. We had a bear sighting just a couple, 100 yards or so from the cabin this year. Not by my dad. They were leaving, but I don't think he's ever hunted for bear.
The bear never made a reappearance. You weren't.
I never saw it
in the cabin watching.
A
fine film to have hear a knock at the door. Bear standing there looking for a cup of sugar.
No.
I am your neighbor.
No. Nothing like that.
Nothing at all.
Although I think you and I have saw piles of what we thought might be scat.
Without a doubt. They are kind of renowned for leaving dark piles of berry seeds.
Yeah.
Here, there, and everywhere.
From their foraging.
Foraging, indeed. Avid berry gatherers. I've got some favorite berry grounds up in the Ely region, and it's often kind of just keep your eyes open because you're not probably the only one out there.
Right.
During the season, you're not, and I guarantee you, as you walk the trails along the North Arm Road, you're going to find bear scat, and it's full of seeds. So and it's everything you can think of. I don't know. I've got a cousin who hunts everything with a pulse. I know he's brought down black bear. He eats everything he bags. They're claiming here, bear fat renders into bear grease, which is an extremely useful substance.
Uh-huh.
And the claim here is it's wondrous for frying or baking. So maybe Tanta Maria can make us a batch of bear fat muffins at some point, although I don't know. It sounds a little... Congealed bear fat to me doesn't sound all that
tempting. I wonder about
tempting.
That.
We've
got an Australian restaurant not far from here.
Okay.
I can't remember what it's called. Bub's Aussies. They're pies, you know.
Oh, sure.
Kind of like pot pies. Really good.
And
they have the best French fries I've ever had, and they cook them in duck fat.
Okay.
And it's like, wow. And I want to say that I was listening to some other podcast where McDonald's used to do, so I don't know if it was duck fat, but before they got all concerned about, fat consumption and everything
for
a fast food restaurant, they changed the recipe. But Bub's Aussies, I don't know, I think that's what it's called.
Free advertising, kids.
Yes, free advertising. Just
you heard it here.
Send a check to our PayPal account at Cabin Country. No,
that's right. We're here for the fries. Fudd sent us.
Oh yeah, they're just amazing, and the good pies too. But
well, I hear that repeatedly on a lot of cooking shows. I watch a lot of cooking shows, Fudd.
Mm-hmm.
I will admit it's kind of a guilty pleasure of mine. They claim that duck fat and goose fat both
are the best
to be prized.
Wow.
Duck fat.
I'm getting hungry.
Oh, man. And they talk, I mean, anything, specifically an old English tradition, bread fried in goose fat. Fried bread.
Really? Wow.
Yeah. And they talk about how just unbelievable. You wouldn't, a little sea salt on top of it. And it's apparently not to be believed. The bread would not treat me well, sadly. I fear... I'd be in rough shape, but an interesting idea. They talk about doing potatoes and goose fat or duck fat and how it's just incredible. So there you have it.
Well, what about a little white acorn flour-based bread product cooked in goose
that
fat?
That I could probably tolerate. Yeah, goose fat sort of white acorn fry bread could be something.
Wow.
Of course, that means we have to go into the blind and drop a few redheads or...
Something,
canvas backs.
Yeah.
Pintails,
the fattier the bird, I suppose.
Bluebill. Yeah, all good. Moving on down the line here, if people will humor me here, if you don't mind the continued concept of forage fun, a lot of talk about dandelion roots.
Yes.
I know the dandelion greens, if you can get them right when the crowns first push through the ground in the spring. We're coming up on a time here where as they start to emerge. Now, I got to be honest. We're both out there a lot with, I've got an electric mower. I think you've got a gas-powered.
Yeah.
I don't see them until they're already above
late,
ground.
Yeah. Right.
And leafed out and probably sending up a flower stalk already.
Yeah.
Now, if they're young enough, apparently the greens are very healthy, healthful. Hmm. By the time we see them, I think they're already bitter.
Okay.
I mean, you pull off a dandelion leaf as a kid, or you grab the dandelion flower to fire the head at some friend of yours, you know, as you're sitting around wasting time in the summer, you know, that latex kind of comes out of the stalk or comes out of the leaves,
right,
or that white milky sap.
Stuff, yeah.
It's bitter. You know, it's just bitter. It's not good. But they claim that if you're that way, sorry, inside joke.
Right.
No, if you can get dandelion greens while they're fresh and young, they're supposed to be very good. But they're saying here, dandelion roots, and they late in the fall, you dig dandelion roots that are very sweet.
Hmm.
Apparently, they'd be roasted and enjoyed.
Later in the fall,
the sweeter the root.
Huh.
Like dandelions. My goodness, who would have guessed? Next up is wild ginger. I've looked everywhere, and I wouldn't be shocked if Mr. Tequila would say, well, you're not looking hard enough.
Mm.
Or my buddy Western Wisconsin Mike might say, look a little harder. You'll find wild ginger. The root's supposed to be good.
Hmm.
You know, energy goes to the roots as the leaves die off. And again, sweet roots after the first frosts. Strawberries. Fruits are gone, but the leaves, apparently, after the frost, you can make tea out of strawberry leaves. I've heard that. I've also heard that about blackberry and raspberry leaves.
Oh, really?
If dried out in just kind of a warm attic. Yule Gibbons loves to talk about that. You put them out on like a sheet of like mesh. Just let them sit in a warm attic room, and they'll just dry without molding or getting funky or whatever, and then can be crumbled up to make a very soothing tea.
Interesting.
That to me is kind of like the people who raise chickens in their backyard so they can get their own eggs.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Because, hey, you know, the high cost of eggs now. I'm like, what? Really? As I understand, well, whatever. I don't want to harsh anybody's mellow here, but if you want strawberry leaf tea, I'm guessing it doesn't cost all that much, and you can find, but something you can forage,
right?
You made your own tea. I was one and am one for that early summer. You know, white pine needles, sweet fern leaves. What else would I throw into my concoction? Wintergreen leaves, and if I could find it, and I usually could after the first of June. It's called Oswego tea or Labrador tea, and it kind of grows near the boundary waters out in the swamps and in the bogs, or as my buddy Mike would say, the muskegs. It's got a real interesting kind of like nature's aftershave. It's a really curious kind of spicy aroma and almost kind of, like an aftershave. It's hard to, and then make your own tea, you know, do like a sun tea with it, and it's actually... it's actually pretty good. A little sweetener. It's not half bad. So
nice.
Kind of fun. They're talking about high bush cranberries. You know, these are... I, again, equate these with growing up at my folks' house. They had that as a shrub out front. And you get these bright red berries on them. And in the summer, they're tannic and sour and awful. And first frost, apparently sweet.
Everything's
sweet as long as you can to harvest these. I'm like, they're out there. I guess you could do something with them. Make sauce, right? Grandma somewhere is smiling down. Bog cranberries, it's the same thing we would think of if you travel through Wisconsin, headed towards Madison. You go through, you know, where the I divides, they like say 94 and 90 split, you hit cranberry bog country.
Oh, really?
And it's what you'd be looking for, you know, the cranberries you're used to on Thanksgiving.
Ah.
And they flood the fields, so the berries will float because they're hollow, and then Oh, they go out with these harvesters and interesting stuff. You need waders as you tromp through the swamp. The berries float. I love cranberries. Do you like cranberries, Fudd?
I'm could take or leave them.
Yeah?
Yeah, my kids actually like them better than I do. So Thanksgiving time,
yeah,
it's something they enjoy, and I just never...
How about the dried ones, craisins? Are you a craisin guy at all?
Actually, I am. I use those quite a bit for salads.
They're delicious. That kind of wraps it up here, Fudd. That's it. I mean, we do have some other discussion talking point. No, we don't. Well, there you have it.
You've covered it.
How about that?
Interesting stuff. The endless fall here in Minnesota,
right.
And there's so much you can forage and look for and enjoy if you would like to find out more.
I think before long we might be talking about the same thing, this sort of outdoor philosopher's corner.
Oh, yes.
And forager's corner with spring, early summer, because it's right around the corner.
It is.
And
not far off.
Maybe we'll find some of those dandelions before they get up too high. Same guy who gave me a bunch of shotguns, tackle, and rifles.
Right.
Was keen on making dandelion wine, Fudd.
Oh, really?
I don't know. It was all the rage with the neighbors. They'd be a little weird after a few glasses.
Wonder if it was a high proof kind of a thing?
I don't know. You know, I was never really old enough. If I had any, I think I was sneaking it out of the fridge.
Take a sip of this.
Yeah.
Yeah, well,
I don't want to get caught.
That's one thing about Minnesota is, as a person who enjoys wine, there aren't many wines from Minnesota. I'm sorry to say this.
There aren't a lot of great vintages.
If you do grow, and there are a lot of experiments.
There are wineries.
Wineries, and they make
lots
all kinds
they
of
do.
Wine, not just grape wine.
Right, right.
But I, for one, am a little bit little picky when it comes to
you know what you like.
Yeah,
I know what I like, and it's probably not my neighbor's dandelion.
Probably not.
Potage.
Yes.
I misused that. Who cares? It's my show.
Right.
Your show. We can say what we want, Fudd.
We
by
can.
By gad.
Well, excellent.
We'll turn it over to Don. A couple words from our sponsors, and we'll be right back.
Torrential rains are in the news. Ice and snow may bring the blues. A fine pair that you'll always use. Overshoes.
Skid proof, vulcanized. Impervious to rain, snow, and ice. Keep your dress shoes clean and your work shoes dry. You won't find comparable rubbers at this amazing price, but we dare you to try. Vulcan Overshoes. Protection for your best, non-slip dryness for the rest. And because Vulcan rubbers are vulcanized, you need not worry about your overshoes ripping or tearing when you put them on. Pull these overshoes on with gusto, and they'll snap back without any need for worry. Vulcan overshoes are also skid-proof and mark-proof, and you won't worry about slipping either. These overshoes grip the surface they're on with that vulcanized bond.
My land, I could wear these in the duck blind and stay dry.
Why not give it a try? To keep fine leathers at their best, or to keep your work shoes warm and dry, heck, even in the duck blind, give Vulcan Overshoes a try.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.